Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:09 British Summer Time. Today is September 24th. Well, today we saw a relatively broad-based sell-off in stock markets and commodities. With stock markets, the majority of indices were down in the region of 1% in the USA, Latin America, and in Europe, and the Hang Seng was down over 2.5% in Asia. Talking last night on the audio, I pointed out that the S&P had had that small key reversal, and really, I suppose you would have needed a magnifying glass to see it. But we did a follow-through in here today, which sort of confirms this short-term top. And what we have to remember is that stock markets have had a very good month so far in September, and they were a little bit overextended, and we're seeing that they are pulling back. And we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside over the medium term, provided they can hold on to their progression of higher lows. And for something like the S&P, that's those August or September reaction lows, which are sort of in the region of just below the 1,000-point level. So that gives a top to bottom reaction in the very short term of about approximately 10%. But what we continue to see is that the stock markets have progressed remarkably well in September. They're looking a little bit overextended, and we are seeing some p little a bit of a pullback from the highs that we saw posted last week. With the US dollar, it found support in the region of the 76 area today and rallied really quite significantly. Against the pound, it was particularly strong, but it strengthened against just about every currency. But when we look at it against some of the stronger currencies, such as the Australian dollar, it wasn't really firmer by very much. And against weaker currencies, such as the pound, obviously, it was considerably stronger. So we're not seeing a massive rally for the dollar. This is barely a dynamic. And while it's found support, and it's just as stock markets are unwinding a little bit of short-term overbought conditions, the dollar appears to be unwinding some of its short-term oversold condition. And in both cases, we can look at the progressions of higher lows and say that these trends that are in evidence will remain consistent for stock markets, provided those higher lows remain in place. And it is a very similar situation for the dollar index, where it would really need to take out the 78 area to break the progression of lower highs and really suggest to us that there is a more significant dollar rally underway, and that would correspondingly put some pressure on leverage trades that have been put on over the last few months. The commodity complex is under a little bit more pressure. In the industrial metal complex, we've already seen that metals such as aluminium or nickel or lead have had larger pullbacks and are in a more corrective type phase. And copper was weaker by almost, well, it's currently down 11.5 cents. So it's pulled down below the $2.70 level. It's at 269 right now, really pressuring the lower side of this range. And an upward dynamic now would be needed to really offset potential for this to have a similar sized reaction to something like aluminium or nickel or lead. And one thing that we can say about all three of those metals is that while they had very good performances, they have pulled back rather sharply, appear to be in the process of finding support, and they've held their progressions of higher lows. So while this is looking like a larger type corrective phase for some of these metals, the bull market hypothesis is over the medium to longer term is still very much in play, even though in the short to perhaps somewhat medium term, we're probably in a more corrective support building phase following really quite an impressive advance over the last 6 months or so. With stock markets, we're looking at China, and China's had one of the largest reactions of any stock market. It pulled back very sharply, found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and is building support above that area as we speak. And it's something of a template for what we could probably expect to unfold in some of the other markets that have performed extraordinarily well. There are a large number of emerging markets are up in excess of or close to 100% from their March lows. And quite apart from the fact that that is a remarkable performance in such a short period of time, the valuations that it is that these performances have pushed some of these markets to are really best case scenario type fundamental valuations. And we are getting increasingly close to a probably a larger type correction rather than the next big move to the upside. And that really suggests that while the medium-term outlook remains relatively consistent for the majority of stock markets, the likelihood is that we are probably closer to the next larger or more lengthy corrective phase than we were at the beginning of September. Well, by definition, that's a truism. But we have two templates for how a corrective phase might unfold. One would be the China example, and another, of course, would be a ranging type consolidation, which allows the overbought condition to be unwound on a gradual basis and allows that moving average to catch up to a certain extent. And to one extent or another, you look at something like the Taiwanese market, which has basically been going sideways for the better part of 3 months, or indeed the Hong Kong market, which, although it made new highs quite recently, is broadly within the area of the 3 month range. And these are potential templates for ranging consolidations, which we could see going on for another few months. And there is a strong likelihood that we're going to see a ranging type support building phase occurring in China, which could last for anything up to a few months. We are at a nervous time for markets because people are reliving the Lehman Brothers experience and what occurred subsequent to that bankruptcy. And people are looking back at their experience over the last year, and there's a higher degree of anxiety. Now, that needn't necessarily be a catalyst for a bigger pullback for markets, but certainly we are seeing that the level of anxiety has risen somewhat over the last couple of weeks. With the US dollar, commodity currencies are by far and away the stronger contenders in here when we look on the global basis. And we continue to see that economies that are dependent on commodities or emerging markets, particularly in Asia, and there was also news in Brazil today that all of these countries are likely to be raising interest rates before we see corresponding moves in the USA, Europe, or the UK. That's going to lead to bigger interest rate differentials. And while those countries may not be particularly happy with having stronger currencies, there is the increasing likelihood that that is probably what they're going to have, given the fact that their economies were less affected by the credit crisis, are recovering faster, and with the growing pace of trade between emerging markets and commodity producers, rather than their previous some dependence on the economies of the US and Europe, we can anticipate that the economies of commodity producing Latin America and other commodity producers, as well as emerging Asia, are going to be where we're going to see GDP growth leading the world in coming years. And that is also likely to be where investors will increasingly look for outperformance. And this is looking very much like a secular trend. So while stock markets are in, while the majority of stock markets encountered at least short-term resistance in here, and while they remain relatively consistent on a medium-term basis, we would be looking for the better performing markets, when they do eventually have a larger pullback, to find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, and to provide us at that point with a relatively good buying opportunity for a medium to longer term type investment. Because we had this weakness in stock markets and commodities today, the majority of sovereign bonds were stronger in here, and both gilts and eurobonds were up by the same 64 ticks in here today, both bouncing from the lower side of their 3 month ranges, and 30-year treasuries are back above the 120 level and continue to range around that area. And they have potential to go up a bit further if we do move into a more a larger corrective phase. But just as we are looking at some of the better performing stock markets and looking for better longer term investment opportunities, significant rallies in government bonds are likely to be shorting opportunities for the foreseeable future. The fiscal position that so many developed country markets are in and have gotten themselves into over the last year, and the amount of debt that they are printing is, and the quantitative easing programs that have been put in place, one has to start to ask questions about whether they're going to be able to meet their liabilities without inflating away the problem or diluting their currencies through quantitative easing. And because there is going to be absolutely no shortage of supply for government bonds over the coming years, it's quite difficult to make a bullish case for holding them over the longer term unless you are a subscriber to the most dire of bearish deflationary forecasts. I'm certainly not in that camp, and I don't think that we're going to see the 10-year yield get back towards 2% anytime soon. But the base formation development phase for that long-term 10-year bond chart could take a significant period of time, because it is going to take a number of years before we see the US economy back on a sound footing. Although I should reiterate that there is significant evidence that the recession appears to be ending, but growth is more than likely going to be slow for a significant period of time, and it's going to take a number of years before we get back to the headline growth that people took for granted before the crisis unfolded last year. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, oil was down by almost $3 in here today. It was down $3 yesterday. So we're seeing it pulling back from the upper side of this 3 to 4 month range, and it looks increasingly likely that it's at least going to go down and test the lower side of the range, which is currently around $60. Natural gas, by contrast, was actually up on the day today. So we're increasingly seeing that the ratio between oil and natural gas is contracting quite violently at this point, where natural gas really was, in relative terms, historically very cheap against the oil market. Gasoline is back down to $163, and that's also in the region of $1.50 a gallon, as far as I know, in the US. So that is coming back to a psychological area for a number of consumers. And the fact that we're seeing that commodity markets are pulling back, and more importantly, not surging to the upside, is certainly not a headwind for consumers, and is a positive for the global economy on the view in a view to getting it back towards a growth footing. Coffee markets and orange juice have been moving somewhat in tandem over the last couple of weeks, and the Arabica contract pulled back from a test of the 3 month highs rather violently in here today, which would suggest that we're in something of a larger trading range, and if it can't pushed to the upside. There's a chance it's probably going to go back and have a look at the lower side of the range. And the very similar story with orange juice, and that would suggest that we have had further impact on the market from that one growing region in Brazil where both of those crops are focused. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.